Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Because I think it is not understood how big an impact Little Pensacola has when it comes to the entire wind manufacturing industry. We're kind of a big deal, guys. So, like, we should all feel good about that.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal. This is Brandy McGraw. She is the plant leader for GE Vernova's Pensacola wind energy plant, where they make there's four pieces that go into a windmill. There's the pole or the stick, whatever you want to call it, the 300-foot tower. There is the what I would have called until yesterday the nacelle. The nacelle is just the shell, the fiberglass white big box. Inside the shell is the important stuff. That's the motor. That's the assembly that makes everything generate electricity. On the front end of that, there's that cone. That's the hub. And then the propeller blades attached to that hub, three typically, the ones they make here, it's three. And so what we make here is we don't make the blades. Those are made closer to the locations. These are mostly all shipped out west, okay? But they're, you know, the blades are made there, and then they buy the sticks from somebody else. But we make, literally in Pensacola, every single week, 40 of those hubs. That's the kind of the triangular piece that the blades attach to. And we make a 24 of the 3-megawatt and 24 of the 2-megawatt motor assemblies, or what you would have called the nacelles. So when you see those things, that's a huge amount of energy. Each one of those produces enough energy for roughly 1,500 homes. So if you kind of do the math on it, like Plant Crist is the way I made sense of it. Plant Crist has got about a 1,000 megawatt capacity. And so that's how much energy it can produce at any given time. And the plant at GE Vernova off Scenic is making about 6,000 megawatts of energy every single year. So they are manufacturing windmill capacity to generate as much electricity as 6 or 7 of the Plant Crist every year, although they changed the name to something else, the Gulf Happy Green Time Energy Plant or something. It's got a new name. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. Okay, so got a chance to tour the facility yesterday. It was fantastic. I mean, what we're doing here is phenomenal, and we are preparing for a future in which there's likely to be an energy shortage. You know, think about AI and how much energy is used by AI. Think about, you know, expansion of demand for electricity in all kinds of ways. And, you know, we need it all. We need oil. We need natural gas. You know, we need coal. We need nuclear. I say we need nuclear. We need wind. We need solar. We need all of it.
Because we are going to have an electricity shortage. We know that it is going to be really drastic by the time we get to 2030. But what we're projecting is that it's going to be at least a 16% shortage volume in terms of electricity that's required. So this means that we have to look for all options to be able to make electricity.
Yeah, agreed. And they have the capacity. They run two shifts. They have a capacity to expand to three shifts because they do four 10-hour shifts, okay, Monday through Thursday. So two shifts of 10 hours each, so two crews basically. But they have the capacity to go to a third shift. They're not there yet, but that could increase by about 50% their output. And by the way, just for comparison, there's a plant in Germany she was comparing to. So again, we make 40 hubs and 48 of the two different size motor assemblies. And this plant in Germany makes like 7 hubs a week. Like nothing. This is a huge 700 people. 700 people work at this facility.
Our goal within wind energy is to deliver 6 times the current terawatt hours to the grid in the next 20 years. And just again, to talk about how awesome Pensacola is, like in the U.S., we are the number one installers of wind turbines for the last 5 years. So again, we've got like a wind energy powerhouse in Pensacola that is very unknown. It includes Jupiter Bach. It includes Blue Wind. It includes WTEC. There are a variety of suppliers in this area that are a part of this overall wind ecosystem.
Yeah, and the fiberglass shells, the nacelles, are made here, okay, by two of those companies that she just mentioned. So one of my questions that I had was, about kind of like the employees and about safety, because, you know, you're in a major manufacturing facility. Safety is a big concern. And, you know, she gave a pretty interesting answer on this. John Pickens, we'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free right now, but I'm still seeing some delays on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you head toward I-10. It's backed up from an earlier accident, but we're just seeing congestion delays at this point. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to start your shopping. You know, they've got a wide selection, 300 cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, things that are, you know, 1 to 3 or 4 years young is kind of what they specialize in. So it's all almost new cars. They're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. So they're cars you can count on. And that means that you're going to basically, it's like you're getting almost new. Okay, probably one other owner, sometimes maybe two, okay, but typically one owner, and then you can drive it as long as you drive it. And what you can do is ask them, what do people like? What do people not like? You know, what features do people appreciate or not appreciate? Which cars are holding value, losing value? Ask them. Think of them as kind of a consultant advisor instead of the adversary that we usually think of a used car place as, like, you know, they're the enemy and we're trying to pry a car out of their hands and they're trying to pry all the cash out of your hand. How about think of them as the place they are, which is trying to be a service, to be a helper? You know, that's why they've been in business for so long. That's why they are going to continue to be here, because they think of it not as just one transaction, but as sort of a lifetime relationship. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Back to the conversation about employee safety with Brandy McGraw, the plant leader at the GE Vernova plant on Scenic yesterday.
It's obviously a big priority. Can you talk a little bit about safety record here at this facility, maybe in comparison with GE Vernova generally?
So within this facility, we have folks that, when we talk about the seniority of our team, we have folks that either have like 15, maybe about 15 years seniority, or people that have 2 years seniority. So within the facility, we have kind of two things that we try to balance when it comes to safety. So those folks with the lower seniority maybe don't fully always understand the risk. So that creates opportunity for us to be able to engineer out the risk, put in better processes and tools to ensure that our employees are safe.
And that makes sense because you have a lot of contract employees, a very high number of Landrum employees. We'll get to that a little bit in just a moment. But, you know, people who don't have a lot of experience don't know the risks. And so you've got to, you know, plan around them. And if you're in a manufacturing or production facility, these are things you guys are all thinking about if you work in, you know, a safety necessity environment. Then the problem with the senior employees is they've been around it so long they get complacent, right?
For more senior employees, we often experience, or we can, I shouldn't say often, but you have the risk of experiencing complacency because they've been doing it so long. So we have to find ways to be able to keep how we do things safely fresh in their mind, and how to keep changing those processes so that we can engineer out risk.
You know what it reminded me of is the conversations we have with Greg McWhirter at Blue Angels Days, when, you know, for the summer show. And one of the things he always says is that the Blues, in the process of adjusting their show throughout the year, they're always changing small things in the formations, just in terms of like sight patterns or where you line up next to the other Jets. Because by changing it just a little, you keep fresh the standard instead of getting complacent, lazy, which is when mistakes happen. And I just thought that, you know, it seemed very interesting, the similarity between safety and the Blue Angels and what at least, you know, the employees in a long, repetitive, you know, mechanical assembly process might have to deal with.
For me, any injury that occurs in the facility is one injury too many. So if our safety record is anything greater than zero, we've injured someone at work, somebody's life has been inconvenienced because you got doctor's visits, all these other things. So anything like that is just unacceptable for us. The way that we manage the facility is through a tool that we call SQDC. SQDC stands for safety, quality, delivery, and cost. And there is a reason that safety is first. Because if we are not doing work safely, if our employees aren't able to go home to enjoy the things that they want to do, then we failed in the leadership team. So that's kind of how we approach it.
I mean, I love that attitude. That's the attitude you want from a plant leader. You know, that's fantastic. Now, as far as the workforce, I thought it was kind of interesting. This is Damaris Sims, who was our particular tour guide, D, we called him. Really good guy. Liked him a lot. Anyway, kind of we're talking about the contract laborers versus the GE hires, because you might wonder, like, who works here? Well, we talked about it.
So technicians, coming in as a contractor, you don't have to have any real experience. I'm not sure what Landrum asked for them to have as far as work experience. Pretty much, you know, how do you feel about working in this type of environment? Because they're job sourcers, you know what I mean? They want people to get out and work. If they feel comfortable doing this, we're going to onboard them. We're going to give them a week's worth of training before they even come out to the floor and touch any tools. Even when they come out to the floor, they still have a grace period that they're going to sit back and watch without putting hands on anything.
Yeah, a lot of preparation time before they get out there and touch torque guns, and, you know, right? And 40-ton cranes and all of that kind of stuff. In fact, it was kind of interesting because the guy who had been there the longest was the primary one operating the crane. We saw him lifting one of the base plates for one of the three megawatt machine heads. And, like, you lift this thing up, and then he turns it 90 degrees with his hand, like spinning it in place. This, God, I don't even know, you know, 50-ton, 30-ton. You know, I mean, it was, like, it was a big sucker, right?
For people like me who know this stuff, and have done it for a while, absolutely. I would like to have them come in with some type of mechanical background because they'll pick up faster, they'll be safer just coming right in off the street, and then it'll just make us that much better. But for technicians that are GE, they're required to have 1 year's worth of manufacturing experience, which there's nowhere around here that offers that. But we do pick up people out of the military, some people with strong automotive, mechanical, aircraft or whatnot experience. And then just a ability to be coachable, be able to train others, because we got a lot of contractors coming in that we have to look over. And I think that's pretty much it. Be able to, you know, speak well and train others, like I said.
Yeah, and there, I mean, you know, they are always looking for people, and 700 people work there. It's pretty good pay, you know, so looking for all the right people. One of the things I noticed, by the way, just an observation, was a pretty high percentage of minority in their workforce, which, you know, I don't know that I expected something different, but higher, you know, like good in a really good way, that this is an opportunity for all kinds of folks. And, you know, I asked them, and there's not any particular structure to that goal for that or anything like that, but, you know, it was an observation that it seemed higher, like almost 50%, or it seemed to me. I'm only seeing one shift and the one time that I was there. I think my favorite story, other than the story about him getting up on the top of the 300-foot windmill and looking around and seeing that he got a chance to go out to the field, and he discovered that the one he climbed up on top of was one he had made. It had his initials on it, which I think would be an amazing thing. But he was talking to us about the guy who was operating the crane, the guy who had been there the longest. This is probably my favorite story of the day, just for a now versus then kind of thing.
And this guy operating the crane here, he's been here, I want to say, longer than anybody. He's been here longer than anybody. So he can tell you stories about when this place used to be Westinghouse. He said they used to smoke cigarettes while they worked. And when they got off work, they could hang around, play cards, have a few drinks. You know, things were way more lax back then.
The workplace of the past. The Mad Men manufacturing side, right? So, oh, and by the way, just so you kind of put all the picture together, the nacelles, the shells, are made here locally, but most of the components are shipped in through the port, like the big base plates that come from China. That's all shipped in via the port. Then it goes up to the facility. Then they manufacture and assemble them. And then, you know, they get shipped out on rail. Or they get sent, you know, they get laid down at the port. I think some of them even go out via shipping to other places as well, and then by rail from there. But the port is an essential part of this, like an absolutely essential part of the operation for GE Vernova. So anyway, just a fascinating time I had yesterday, and, you know, felt like I kind of, you know, vaguely knew, but now I really know, and I really appreciate the opportunity to learn about. 824 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have, if you're 64, you're turning 65, you're going to convert over onto Medicare, and you might have questions or be confused about what that entails. Hey, it's normal. It's different. It's something you've not done before. Ricky Stewart, she's a good friend. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one portion of it, is help people get converted over onto Medicare and manage their plans. Advantage, supplement, prescription drugs, Medicaid. What is that? Does it apply to me? Do I qualify? The rules changing, you know, all that stuff. It can seem complicated, but she knows all the answers. She's such a fabulous sweetheart. Give her a call, 341-2185. Pick her brain, get information, sit down with her for a consultation. Insuredbyricky.com, or just look her up, Ricky Stewart Insurance. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, did I miss anything you wanted to ask about? I keep forgetting to ask, but...
No, you covered a lot. There's a lot of information. It was a good series. I recommend people go back and listen to the podcast.
To the six, the seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you put it all together. It's like,
I so wish I could show you, but of course, for proprietary reasons, can't show you photos or videos. But I wish I could send you to the Facebook page where you could see it, because it is like breathtakingly cool to go inside this facility. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
All right, no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. And also just some minor delays now on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. That congestion's starting to go down just a little bit. Other than that, we're looking good. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You know, you see these like 400-ton cranes lifting these 65-ton machine heads and moving them around.
Right.
And, you know, 500 foot-pounds of torque on the 50 bolts that they put on the outside of the hubs that are then going to attach to the windmills, you know, the blade. Like, it's really something. And it's just, again, just made all here in Pensacola. Pretty amazing.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider. They're your healthcare partner, specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older. VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Prosecco Week, Father's Day, Craft Beer Festival, Juneteenth, Toast of the Coast, High on the Hog, Dinner with Strings, and the 4th of July. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, man, you want to show your brother your ducks?
Of course, it's 27 minutes of Jeopardy.
Don't worry, Ray, we'll bring you right back.
Good morning, 8:28 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Canadian wildfire smoke continuing to create hazardous air quality for a lot of folks in northern U.S. today. Air quality alerts have been posted from Nebraska to Michigan, where the U.S. is downwind from dozens of wildfires that are still burning in Canada. The family of the Egyptian man accused of burning 12 people in Colorado is set to be deported. The White House said yesterday Mohammed Solomon's wife and 5 kids are now in ICE custody for expedited removal. And the Israeli military says aid distribution centers in Gaza are being shut down now as roads leading to those sites have become combat zones. The Israel Defense Forces say that people will be prohibited from traveling to any of those centers today. Over 24 Palestinians were reportedly killed near an aid center yesterday.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I don't know why this story so fascinates me. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but the Tinder change that now I am so far removed from the dating scene. I mean, I've been married for 27 years. You know, like I vaguely know the swipe right, swipe left, Grindr, whatever, Bumble. I mean, it's so, it's a foreign language. And I am so glad I don't have to deal with all of it because I hear nothing but horror stories from people who do these things. But apparently Tinder is now going to be offering you the option to filter your men based on height. Now, it's not a hard and fast limit, but it's more of a preference, you know, to prioritize men of a certain height in your feet if you're the woman. And, you know, short guys, I'm a short guy. Okay, 5'6", 5'7", on a good day. You know, why would I want to be with a woman who's going to be disappointed when she finds out I'm not tall? I don't want to talk myself into a tall girl relationship. You know, like, people are offended that, you know, short guys are going to get no attention. Well, no, but you might actually get better attention of what you give. Plus, I figure, you know, if they can ask for measurements, then we can ask for measurements, right?
I'm Therese Crowley. Best offer deadline today. President Trump's team asking for global partners' best tariffs, trade deals by today as 50% tariffs on aluminum and steel imports kick in. President Trump also posting, I like President Xi of China, but he's very tough and extremely hard to make a deal with. The FBI charging two Chinese nationals with smuggling a dangerous fungus into Michigan with the potential to be used as an agro-terror weapon to poison farm fields and livestock. A University of Michigan employee in custody, Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt tells Fox.
They think America's in decline. They're the ascending power. They're willing to steal our IP, steal our jobs. They're literally coming for our lunch.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered the Navy to rename the USS Harvey Milk, a sailor turned gay rights activist. An internal memo says it's to align with objectives to reestablish the warrior culture. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning. We've got partly cloudy skies and 77 degrees right now in Pensacola. The city of Pensacola investing $50 million into resiliency projects to combat rising sea levels and frequent flooding. City leaders say there is a need for improved stormwater infrastructure to expedite drainage and reduce flooding in vulnerable areas.
We recognize that. Pensacola is a historic flooding district. So this administration has invested about $50 million in ongoing projects where we have shovels in the ground to improve our resiliency against storms.
That's City Administrator Tim Kinsella. And key initiatives include replacing outdated stormwater systems on 9th Avenue and transforming the Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Park to enhance water storage capacity. The city's been awarded more than $41 million in funding from state and federal grants for the projects, which aim to reduce flooding and provide aesthetic improvements for residents. Just a few more weeks now until the Maxwell Respite Center is forced to close its doors. That'll mean 80-plus residents there will have to find a new place to stay. Another local nonprofit that helps house the homeless in our area says they'll step up and help as many of those people as they can.
We have capacity in both of our program areas, and we're ready.
Waterfront Rescue Mission President and CEO Clay Romano, he says despite their numbers growing in recent years, they will help as many of the displaced residents as they can. Maxwell Center's residents do include women, families, and veterans. Waterfront says they will help families if they ask for it, but normally they focus on helping single men and single women. The Maxwell Center is being forced to close their doors as the landlord is renting their space to a different organization that can pay higher rent. A 68-year-old Texas woman is in critical condition after a crash on Mobile Highway that happened near Dooley Street last night. FHP says the car was being driven by a 70-year-old Pensacola man who lost control after running off the road and hitting a culvert, a road sign, a utility pole, then a tree. The car then rolled into a ditch. The driver suffered minor injuries. The female passenger was critically hurt. Both were wearing their seatbelts. The motorcyclist involved in that crash on Gregory Street last week that was allegedly racing a car across the bridge has died. Pensacola police made that announcement last night. They say the driver of the Ford Mustang involved in the race will not be charged. The crash happened last Tuesday. Police said the motorcycle and the car were racing across the bridge. The car slowed down as it entered Pensacola. The motorcycle didn't and lost control going around that curve near 14th. Florida lawmakers back at work today trying to hammer out a budget. This coming as a tentative agreement was reached. House Speaker Daniel Perez says the House wants to cut the budget more than the governor and the Senate do.
We have increased our budget more in this six-year span than any other six-year span in the history of the state of Florida. We are spending like drunken sailors. And at some point, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, are we running the government efficiently?
That's House Speaker Daniel Perez. He says more than $2 billion worth of tax cuts will be implemented in the new budget, which also includes spending cuts and a raise for state workers. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms. 70% chance of that rain for today. High near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping rain chances around on Thursday with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 88. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 77 degrees right now. Your next news at 9 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And our markets this morning are opening pretty much flat. They're up just a little bit. The Dow's up just under 100 points, 42,616. S&P up 15.5 points at 59.86. NASDAQ up 64 points at 19,463. 10-year bond rate is down just fractionally at 4.412%. Gold price is up 460 at 33.81. Silver prices are down 4 cents at $34.59. Crypto is down across the board. Bitcoin down over 1,000 at 105.234. Ethereum's down. Solana's down. Dogecoin down by about a half a cent. XRP down by 3 cents as well today. A top White House official says President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are expected to talk about trade policy as soon as this week. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent tells CBS that he's expecting the two leaders to iron out key differences in a phone call. Private sector job creation is down dramatically for May. Payroll processing firm ADP reporting 37,000 jobs were added, down from 60,000 in April, well below the 110,000 market analysts had expected. It's the lowest monthly total since March 2023. Toyota shares are plummeting after it reported a deal to take the company private. Stock in Toyota Industries fell 13% after the $33 billion deal was announced. It would include a tender offer of $26 billion. Toyota Industries produces a wide range of products besides their popular vehicles, including forklifts, engines, and electronic components. Forbes is now out with their annual list of the country's most successful self-made women. There's 38 billionaires on the list of 100 entrepreneurs, executives, and entertainers. That is 7 more than there were last year. Top of the list for the 8th year in a row is the richest, Diane Hendricks, owner of building materials company ABC Supply. 3 new billionaires are on the list, majority owner of the National Women's Soccer League's Washington Spirit, Michelle Kang, co-owner of the league's San Diego Wave, Lauren Lichtman, and investor Mary Zangania, who owns Summit Therapeutics. Our next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/home loan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I'm going to ask one today that I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm eager to ask. Remember the other day when we were
talking about...
too eager. I know.
When
we were talking
nervous.
About things your parents either didn't interfere with you doing or let you do and all the dangerous stuff you did as a kid, that got me to thinking about something else that was a little bit different back in the day, and I'm curious where this goes. This is going to horrify some people, and I do not mind. It's fine. This is something where you need to be a little horrified. Question one, when you were a kid, did you get spanked? Question two, with what? 437-1620, 437-1620. Or if you're a parent, you know, did you use the same implement that your parents used on you? 437-1620. Did your parents do corporal discipline for you? And what was their implement of choice? 437-1620. You see now somebody...
Andrew.
Yeah.
How dare
okay.
you?
Gosh, look at all how terrible all these kids turned out when we actually gave them consequences for the things that they did wrong. Okay, John, I'll start with you.
Yes.
Were you spanked?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah.
And what was the implement of choice for your mom, dad, or both?
Both.
Okay.
And it was the belt.
The belt. Okay.
Yeah. When dad would take off that belt, then you already knew it.
In the moment of dread when the implement is being prepared— is as much as the actual pain itself, right? The dread, the terror. It's like being at the top of the roller coaster and then clink, 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 clink.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, so the belt. From both parents' belt?
Well, I don't remember. Yeah, I'm going to say yes because my mother's listening. Love you, Mama.
All right, Meg.
Gosh. Okay. For me, you know, I was such a good little girl.
You never got spanked. You always did what you were told. Everything was fine. What happened to your siblings, though?
No. but when I did get in trouble, basically, there were two punishments. One was getting spanked on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And then the other would be go to your room. And that was like the worst thing ever was to be sent to my room.
Oh, see, for me, sent to my room was like a reward. I mean, I had books and music and comics and
so that was
Legos.
That was your reward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever got sent to my room, ever.
Yeah, they probably
I just remember you go into that room, young lady, and you think about what you just did.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'd sit there, and I would sit there and think about what I just did.
Oh, like, I just sit there and read comic books.
Andrew would start reading.
Yeah, I mean, I got music. I'm good, you know? Thank you.
I was really in trouble if I ever got spanked on the bottom.
All right. No, and that's actually a good analog of the question, which is, if not spanking, what? Like, what was the punishment of choice, the preferred punishment that your parents used on you? 437-1620, fair enough. Sorry, you said spanking, yes, never?
Just spanking on the bottom with the hand.
With the hand, a hand
never
only.
Any objects okay. or any other kinds of things.
All right, I got
you. I never got hit in the face. I never got hit anywhere else.
So for
and
me,
now it's Andrew's turn.
I can only remember being spanked, I mean, gosh, like a handful. Kidding.
Yeah, because I was like,
no,
wait a second.
My parents were like liberals, you know, and so they didn't really believe in a lot of that. I don't think from my dad ever. I can remember one time with my mom because I decided to use her lipstick to make art on the wall of the bedroom. And
and you remember that?
Oh, well, I remember what happened after. I did not play with her lipstick again.
Oh, I bet so, you didn't.
And it was a hand. It was a hand. But I will look, I'll tell you, for our boys, we have spanking sticks. You know what a spanking stick is?
No.
No.
That's the paint stirrer that you get at the Home Depot or, you know, wherever. The little, oh. You know, they're about a foot long. They're pretty thin. They're like little slats. It's just right. Because if it's the heavier ones, damage. But if it's the little light one, you know, like the 5-gallon stirrer, that's a little hefty. But the little 1-gallon stirrer, it's perfect. It's just going to sting, right? It doesn't hurt your hand, which is nice. And they learn. I'm telling you, I don't know how you raise boys without spanking. You know, but you cannot reason with a 1.5-year-old. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. All of them, you know, super nanny aside, it just doesn't work. 437-1620. All right, let's see. Sorry. Let's go to traffic on the fives. John, before we get to your texts, the question of the day, did you get spanked with what implement? Do you spank with the same thing, your kids, or alternative punishments? A lot in this text if you want to include it all. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, and even Avalon Boulevard are back rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I was a kid that you could reason with. I mean, which may not surprise, but, you know, so I wasn't that disobedient, but when I was,
oh, boy.
Things had to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had more conversations about things now that I think about
it. Yeah, we did too. And again, you know, parenting style, but also kind of who I was as well. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you're thinking about moving to a different neighborhood, getting a bigger, getting a smaller, getting a second home, a beach house, a vacation rental, an investment property, whatever it is, if you're in a real estate frame of mind and you want to do something, call Christine Leavenworth at 786-3996. Or if you just want to talk about it, you know, get some questions answered, gather information, give her a call. Same thing. She's on Pep Talk all the time talking with Meg about the various things that they do. And one of the things, she just loves to meet people and talk real estate with them. They sold 165 homes last year, 175 homes the year before. They know how to solve the problems. They know how to get to closing. They know what the market is doing. You know, what's it doing now? What's it doing in Gulf Breeze versus Milton versus, you know, Warrington? They're all different. And even at different price points, the market is not just one thing. It's a bunch of different things. So give her a call and talk it out. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. All right. Let's see. Text question of the day is, did you get spanked? With what? Do you use the same? And if not spanking, what? Somebody says, yes, a hand, both mom and dad did the spanking. Somebody else says, yes, my dad's belt. He kept me and my brother out of jail and my sister off the stripper pole.
Oh, my goodness.
That's success. You know, you win. Belt, frying pan.
Ow.
And granny used a switch, which I had to select. Oh, yeah, go get the switch, right? Now, that never happened to me, but I know that's a lot of people. And that was the dread. Was it Bill Cosby that did the routine about that? And, you know, the kid comes back in with a little limp noodle of it. You know, so, no, that doesn't work. Yes, absolutely, I was spanked. Amir says, belt or the worst was the bamboo back scratcher. Oh, yeah, in a pinch, the back scratcher. Yeah, the back scratcher, that'll deliver a note. Let's see, somebody says, got whooped with a belt, a wash rag, a switch, mainly a switch, and we had to pick it out ourselves. Southern parents don't play, LOL. That's right. See, what cracks me up about this is, I know some people are, oh my God, Andrew, you're perpetuating abuse. No, dear, no. No. Corporal punishment, physical punishment is effective. Can it lead to, of course it can. Does that mean that the thing itself is bad? No. Done out of love when it is done for the child's benefit, which is the point, not out of anger. 437-1621. Only when I needed it, .. a lot. My daddy, his belt, my mama, an azalea switch, a shoe, whatever was handy. A spatula, I suppose, and, you know, some kind. Carla says, just the withering look my mother would give me was enough punishment for me. Spanking was never needed. Oh, and by the way, that's a good note. Every child is different. Every child has different love languages. Every child has different discipline languages. You typically don't want to discipline within the love language. Like if they're a touch kid, you don't want to spank them, right? Because then you're...
I tried to do that with my parents. It didn't work.
Yeah. But you know, every kid is different. And it's not that, you know, spanking or switching or whatever is the universal solution. You do have to be smart as a parent, but, you know, also don't be dumb as a parent and think it doesn't work. Let's see. Yes, with a paddle that my dad... Ooh, a homemade device. Wow. It was worse if mom had to whip us because when dad found out we were going to get a second dose, right? My dad used the belt. My mom used whatever she could find, LOL. Okay, at 8 years, TJ says, at 8 years, I was already taller than my mom, and she couldn't hurt me, so she used a fly swatter. Ew. That's more gross than painful. Dad just yanked me up and used his hands on my little legs. Scott writes a piece of Hot Wheels track.
Ow.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought about that one.
No, because it's flexible. Yeah, there's a little whip effect on that one. Daddy used the belt when he would... You know, it's funny. I know a lot of these people. I know who they are. And these are all well-adjusted adults who turned out okay. You know, see, it's fine. Daddy used the belt. When he would take it off, he would fold it and snap it. The anticipation. Mother would make us go break our own peach tree or plum tree switch, strip the leaves off, and bring it to her. She said that was her cooling down time. Oh, that's for her benefit. That makes sense. I got spanked by hand by my mom, my dad, my grandma. I did spank my kids, so up until they got out of diapers. Let's see. Yes, hand, belt, wooden spoon, and a few other random convenient implements. Being grounded was worse. The pain lasts longer. When my brother, Kim says, when my brother was born, which he's older, the doctor patted him on the little butt and said, this is the only place if you're going to spank, which is a good note. Somebody says, this is going to hurt you more than hurt me more than it hurts you. Spanked with the belt. Somebody else, spanked with the young kid with a ham when I was young, but I spent most of my teenage years getting grounded. I knew I was in trouble. Somebody says, when mom said, get a switch from the, see, lots of people did this. And it was never for me. So I always wondered if that was more like urban legend, you know, walking uphill both ways in the snow on the fence post to school. But no, people really did get told to do that. I didn't get spanked. I got beat. And it's because I was a little demon and I deserved every one of them. Only a couple of times got spanked, more so developing a fondness for the taste of soap. Ooh, other memories. When we spanked, we had, a chart. Oh, we had to chart it all to see how often it was happening. I definitely pushed the limits, even ran away and laughed while everybody was looking for me. I was in the boat in the backyard watching them come and go. These stories are awesome. My mom would use the broom and wind up. Not sure how, but my parents rarely spanked. I did not want them to be disappointed. See, that's learning your kid. My husband was spanked with an electric cord, and he still wound up in jail. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, okay, it happens. My mom used to use the paint stirrer, and I did too. If the car ever got pulled over, we were in big trouble. Mom would use a switch on the back of the legs, and we'd have to break off the switch at the edge and if it was too small. Daddy never touched us, just would tell us he was disappointed in us. And I think oh, my God, I'm getting so many texts in here. My father figured out he could hold on to you in the air by one arm with, like, a heavy bag and kick you in the butt at the same time. You know what I love about this is these are all people who are saying, this was done, and I learned, and I grew up, and now I'm a well-adjusted adult, as opposed to the sort of all the other stuff that you hear whenever this subject comes up. People have such frail sensibilities, and I just think, man, if we had just a little bit more parenting like this, we probably would have a little bit less of the other stuff.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to have such a good time. It'll be like this one time at band camp when we all had a campfire.
This one time at band camp. 8:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with human resource management, payroll, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. Torgerson Causey, locally owned employee benefits agency. They will take care of all this stuff for you, or the piece of it that you need them to help you with. In fact, we started using them about 4 years ago here at News Radio in Cat Country, and they have been great. They gave us choices we didn't have, better plans than we had. And I mean, any choice was really amazing. And asking questions and getting answers. I mean, most times, insurance people are not detail-oriented. They're salespeople instead of understanding really, you know, insurance and costs and all this. And so my wife asks questions, and then they don't have good answers, and then we get annoyed. We ask questions, and Reed always gets back to us with good answers. I mean, they're the best. They're fantastic. So more than 20 years helping local businesses do right by their employees. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, they're all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Man, I got to tell you, I am so disappointed in Pete Hegseth. I talked all day yesterday about this really great speech you gave in Singapore, but this discovery that they're going to rename the Navy ship, the United States Navy ship, Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, of course, was the gay activist in San Francisco who was killed. He was a member of city council. He was kicked out of the military for being gay, or accepted a less than honorable discharge for that. This is gay activist. You say, Andrew, you didn't strike me as the kind of guy that would be a big fan of Harvey Milk. Oh, I'm not. I mean, I'm not. That's why this story is so amazing to me. I would not put his name on a ship. I would not honor him. He's not my hero. You know me, I'm not a big champion of gay rights, pro acronym, or any of that kind of stuff. Listen to transgressors. But here's the problem. His name was on that ship through the appropriate process. And in fact, that whole line of Oilers is going to be named for people that are social activists. Harriet Tubman, Dolores Huerta, Lucy Stone, Cesar Chavez, Medgar Evers, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the plan. So first of all, when you're a Navy ship, you don't rename a Navy ship. That's bad juju. Don't do that. But even so, politics shouldn't change names. See, here's why this is such a fascinating story to me. Because it exactly shows you whether you're a person of principle or whether you're a person of just the names you like and don't like. Because what did we say when it was Confederate names being changed? Don't change the names. Preserve the history. Teach to the history. Don't change the names. Okay, that was my position, and rightly so. Well, and not because I like the Confederacy. Some of you might. I do not. I'm a Northerner at heart. I don't like the Confederacy, but you don't change names. They were put in place. They're there. Okay, fine. So the problem is now you've got a gay activist, and you're like excited that his name is going to get taken off that ship. What you're affirming, if that's your view, is the principle that as political winds change, you can change the names of things. And you're only in favor of or opposed to the name on the basis of whether you like it or not, which is not a principle. I say I would not have named for Confederate, but once they're in existence, fine. I would not have named for a gay activist, but once it's in existence, fine. Don't change the names. Period. And if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know that that is my consistent view across the board. So, and especially during Pride Month, clearly on purpose during Pride Month, which I do not celebrate Pride Month, okay? But same thing. This is a statement. Well, it's a statement of non-principle. And I wonder if the Gabby Giffords is going to get renamed because she was, you know, associated with gun activism. Look, you either believe in the principle that the names get made by a process and then they'll get changed, or whatever goes. In which case, if you're celebrating this, you can never complain about a name change again. 437-1620. Feel free to disagree with me. People do. sometimes happens. Oh, man. Where are we at on all this? I just saw that story today and I thought, man, that is an amazingly poignant illustration. Like a philosopher couldn't come up with, I'm a philosopher. A philosopher could not come up with a better compare and contrast to see whether you believe in the principle of not changing history and whether you believe in the principle of censoring the past or not, Or whether you're just using that as an argument of convenience when you kind of like the names as they were. You kind of like the thing that they represented. Oh, and by the way, I should say this. If you believe in changing names based on, you know, whoever's in power, I mean, you could affirm that. But don't ever complain about the name changing itself. And remember that when somebody else gets in power and they want to change names, you kind of got to be, well, you know, it's your right. Change the names. So, yeah, it's a really good illustration of whether people are principled or hypocrites. A hypocrite is somebody who pretends to believe in a value, but is only doing it for convenience sake to hide something else. Don't be a hypocrite. Advocate for principle.